Morning, Illumination. First of all, I give all honor to God. I thank God for allowing me to be in your presence. I thank Pastor Mike, Pastor Johnson, the rest of the staff, but also you as a congregation, a body that comes together. So thank you for allowing me to be here. And in dangerous prayers, I got a lot of experience with that, right? And in the breaking aspect of it. What I came here to do, right, I got some things together, right? It was a lot of scriptures. So I asked Johnson to just take all the scriptures, you know, down. And what I'll do, I'll just talk about references, meaning reference where I'm coming from. That gives you the opportunity to go back and read over it and see what God is telling you in this time. Because he told me something in my time of study. And I trust he'll give you revelation, meaning understanding your time of study as well. Something that's not different, but that could uplift each and every one of us and what we get from the Word of God. I don't want to be too long. I want to get right into it because I got 35 minutes, and what I will do is be obedient to the leadership, because I'm coming up under Pastor Mike and the rest of the pastors and also you. So what I will do is be submissive, as I am submissive to God. I just want to dangerous prayers, Pastor Mike. Why did you get me here on this? And look, let me just give you this insight. This is why I say this, right? I used to weigh 257 pounds. And then I started going to the gym. I said, man, Lord, I want to lose weight. Help me lose weight. And something happened, and he helped me lose weight. Helped me lose 60 pounds, but it wasn't the way I thought I should have lost it. Just hold on to that, okay? I have a lot of reference scriptures. You know, I have a content, context. Meaning the scripture I want to read to you, but it's going to be the ending result of the sermon. Meaning it's going to be the ending result on how this person or how these people get to the point of giving glory to God like they do. See, it's something has to happen in the process of all this to really give alms to God and give your heart to God. I recall God telling David he was a man after his own heart. How did David get there? How did David get there? Because I could understand if my wife saying that, because I could physically touch her. I could physically see her. I physically had a relationship with her, and I see how the relationship revolves, right? But something had to happen to David to the point that something spiritual happened to him, and he couldn't see it, but something was there where he felt it. He knew it was there. And let me warn you, I have a passion for God. Sometimes my voice gets loud. It's not an act. Sometimes when I talk, or do this here about scriptures, it's like it's just me and God all by ourselves. So I want to be clear. I'm going to be clear. I pray for that so you can understand me. But when the passion comes, understand that as well. I'm not hollering at you or arguing with you. I'm just, you got to get this. I'm just ecstatic about what God has done. It's personal with me, and you'll get it. I want to read to you Psalms first. I'm going to put this right here by the shoes. I better put this on the floor. Put that on the floor. I want to read to you something. Now, I want to read to you Psalms 121. It's a song of ancients. Ancients mean a movement upwards from a lower or higher state. The word of God reads, and I'm going to read the whole Psalm 121. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Now, this is a psalm that the people of Israel used to sing on their way to worship. This is a journey psalm, meaning on my journey, this is what I believe, and this is what I say. This is what keeps me moving, even if I get tired, right? How do we get to this point where we can really give God the alms that he deserves? How do we get to this point that when we pray, we feel our whole being like never before, like something is attached to us that's given us the direct contact with the Creator? How do we get there? How I like to make it personal with me. How do I get there?
How do I really give God not what he deserved, but what he asked for? How do I give God my worship? How do I give God my praise? How do I pray for you in your situation like it's my? How do I get there? It's a way. It's a way. We might not like it, but it's a way. And it has everything to be being broken and damaged. Because you know what? We're stubborn and a stiff-necked people. Still, the Old Testament is present right now. I'm talking to me, so won't nobody get offended. I'm talking to me, right? I'm a stiff-necked person, and God knows what he has to do to me to get me where he needs me to be, to do what he needs me to do, to be about my Father's business. Amen? He got to break us. We have to go through. You will go through something. Jesus went through something. So what makes you think those that are in Christ won't go through something? Now, what I'm doing, right, I'm talking to those that know Christ and those that don't know Christ, that you may get to know Christ. So that covers everybody in the room, everybody, even me. So you know what? So now we're all on the same accord and on the same page. And I pray that you have hearts to or ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to be softened. Let me do something first, right? This almost got me. Now I'll be taking a sip of water every now and then because my throat be so dry. So bear with me on that. These almost got me in trouble last night. Meaning my wife, right? I went to the basement to see what old shoes I have. And I thought these was old. I tell my wife, say, what are you doing? Right? And it was too late. And I was telling my wife, well, these old, right? Because when I step in the water, they get wet. You know what she told me? They not waterproof. I said, okay, I'll never do it again, right? But it was too late, right? If we look at these shoes, and this is just, I like illustrations, right? I'm a hands-on guy. If you show me what it's like, I take to it quicker than you just telling me what it's like. I think most men are like that. I know I'm like that, right? So if you look at these shoes, they old and toe up. They could be discarded, basically, right? It's the size out of them and everything else, right? But something is keeping these shoes intact with the sole. Let's look at the sole of the shoe, right? If I put these shoes on and go outside and step on rocks and glass and whatever, I won't feel it because the sole is protecting my feet. Follow me now. This sole is keeping my feet from getting cut, damaged in any way. But it's only the intactness, it being intact with the rest of the shoe, right? So if you ask me again, is this shoe worth something? Yeah, it is. I could wear this shoe because it's keeping my soul from being damaged. See, as long as I keep my soul intact, you got to get this, church. Look, as long as I keep my soul intact, even by a screen, man, I make it. Despite what situation or circumstance come up in my life, as long as my soul is intact, despite how damaged this shoe look, this soul and the leather and the strings keeping this intact to the sole of the shoe. The stitches are keeping it intact. So if you ask somebody that's homeless, this is a great shoe. If you ask me now, because I'm going to take these back home and I'm going to wear them, this is a great shoe. Because it's usable. It could still be you. So you know what I won't do? I won't give up on it. Because as long as I keep the soul intact to this shoe can be used. And you know what too? It can be repaired. I could restore this shoe by taking it to the shoe shop. And they'll sew it up, glue it up, or tape it up. And it'll be right back like new. Won't see no holes or anything. It'll look like it was supposed to look when it was made, right? I'm getting somewhere with this, right? So just remember this, right? Despite how this shoe look, as long as I keep the soul intact, I'm okay. See, the shoe is damaged, but it's not destroyed. Follow me, church. The shoe is damaged. No doubt about it. It's tore up, but it's not destroyed. It's usable. Let me just kind of switch a little bit, right? Let me talk about some people in the Bible that was damaged. See, I'm going from the physical to the spiritual, right? Noah was damaged, right? He was told to build an ark and was no on dry land and wasn't no rain about, right? And he did that out of obedience to the one that told him to do it, even though everybody else came against him and called him crazy. I know that hurt because we don't like to be talked about, do we? Especially when everybody talking about us. That hurt in some type of way, right? It really hurt in some type of way. Let's look at somebody else. Moses. Moses, I mean, he was damaged to the point of, man, I'm with Pharaoh's house, a house of man, just prestige and everything, and now I'm a slave. Now they're coming up against me. Now I got to tell them to let God's people go, and now I got to go in front of the people that I know that warriors and that will kill me and give them instructions on letting their slaves go that builds everything. And this is the command I've been given that I have to let you know about. Man, that hurts. I don't have all these good things anymore. I can't tell somebody what to do and they run to do it. I can't give instructions no more to the people of prestige, as you say. That hurts, right? Let's think about Joseph. Joseph was thrown in a pit by his brothers, picked up by some travelers, thrown in jail. What did Joseph do? I think that hurt when your family come up against you. That kind of hurts your heart. Matter of fact, when all of your brothers come up against you, and you in a dark pit by yourself, and now they're at the point of wanting to kill you. I think that's kind of rough, and that kind of hurts, right? Let's talk about Paul. I like Paul, right? In Acts chapter 9, it gives good instructions on Paul on the road to Saul, as the time was his name, on the road to Damascus, going to persecute the people that are seeking Jesus Christ or just follow the followers of Christ. And all of a sudden, he said a light came by and knocked Saul off the animal that he was on. And now Saul come to a revelation of the one that he's been persecuting is the true and real God. And now just think about this. The one that the people that believe in Jesus don't trust Paul because he persecuted the church. And the one that sent to persecute the church, now he against them talking about the one that they sent to persecute. Now he's all by himself. Boy, how does it feel to be lonely? See, it's so many ways that we are damaged. We are broken in the inside. It's so many ways that our heart hurts to the point that sometimes we just don't understand what's going on. Sometimes we want to ask God, the God that we know, why? Why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to me? What's going on? But sometimes you don't hear anything, but we have to trust it. Believers, especially when we believe in them. Sometimes, well, then again, all the time this was glory. Despite the lack of understanding that we had, because I recall the word saying, my understanding is not your understanding, thus says the Lord. Now, let's get into the scripture that I want to talk about. We come to understand everyone is broken. Everyone is damaged, right? I want to talk to you about David. Right? The shepherd of the sheep. That's what Jesse put him at. Out to watch over the sheep because of his small stature. Let me just set it up right quick. Because of his small stature. In 1 Samuel, it tells about David. Right? 1 Samuel 17 tells about this big giant that was really persecuting Israel. Goliath. I know we all know the story. I'm just giving references right now. We all know the story, right? About this great giant that was out there in the field just talking about Israel and their God. And just so happened this little David comes by, a little guy that's not big enough to be in the army. He shouldn't be in the army. He should be watching sheep of low stature being hidden. I got to give you an understanding of David. That's being hidden in the background. by his father and the other brothers that are out there fighting a war that they're scared to fight. Because as Goliath was calling just one man out to come and fight him, when King Saul didn't even go out either. No one went out. But this man, a small stature, said, I'll go. I'll go fight this giant. I dare him disrespect my God like that. The man of small stature went out and fought the giant and killed the giant in the name of his God. Amen? So now, right? Let me just set it up, 1 Samuel 18. Now, Saul see this and just reverence over it. Man, all right, we're not slaves. I'm still a king. Man, let me grab this guy and bring him into my house. So what Saul did in 1 Samuel 18, I might not even look at my notes that much. 1 Samuel 18 was brought, it's just something about the word of God, right? It's right here. Oh, yes. 1 Samuel, and 1 Samuel 18, rather, Saul, King Saul, brought David into his home, if you read it, and said, you're not leaving. Made him his own. Loved David. Now, get this right. David was a shepherd, always in the background, everything. Now, David is in the king's house. One of the king's own. Boy, that's like being in the president's house. Despite who the president is, it's like being in his house. I mean, for me, I'm talking about all the president, right? But despite who the president is, it's like the president saying, you come on in here, man. Man, you eat well. Man, you live well. You ain't going nowhere. Man, that would make you feel good, wouldn't it? How would your heart feel at the time? That'll make you say, man, wow, right? I'm in the king's house. The king, I don't know how Jesse treated him, but I know he's watching sheep. I know Jesse didn't bring him forth when he was called to bring all his sons out. I recall that in scripture. But now the king is putting them front and center. Get this. Now David is feeling so good, right? He is feeling so good. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful, right? Now, how did David get to the point of being hurt? You know what? I'm going to step away from my notes. I want to speak from my heart, Pastor. Is that okay? Thank you. Now what's going on in the house? Okay, David is doing so good in King Saul's house. The people are starting to look at David. And they're starting to look at David a little bit more than they're looking at King Saul. And now what occurs when that happens? When somebody's being looked at better than the one that's always been looked at. See, some type of jealousy seeps in. So now the relationship between the king and David is starting to get a little rough around the edges. To the point of where the king is trying to kill David because of jealousy. It says, if you read in 1 Samuel 18 as well, that an evil spirit came upon King Saul. Right? And the evil spirit allowed Saul to try to kill David because he felt David was trying to take over what's going on with him. He felt David was trying to take over the kingdom. It said the evil spirit came over Saul. Now just picture David. Picture David. Now, David loved Saul, King Saul. King Saul treated him like a son. He fell in love with Jonathan, like a brother. King Saul even got to the point of giving his daughter to David. And that made him so happy. But now he's at the point of trying to kill David. How do you think David felt? Man, that hurt. That hurt when a mother or father figure turned their back on you. And I know how that feels because I was adopted. That hurts when the one that birthed you gives you away or try to hurt you in some type of way. Right? That hurts. It hurts. So now David is confused on why is Saul trying to do me like this? It broke David. David's heart is broken. It's damaged. He's confused. And as you go on reading in 1 Samuel 18, Saul goes to the point now of David is growing up and he's still being favored in stature because God has favor over David. and his favor is leaving Saul. It's leaving the king. So now David, what Saul do is give David 1,000 men to fight a war with the Philistines, right? Hoping David get destroyed in the process. But God's favor is over David. And David becomes even greater in stature. Where they, when they come back from war, the people start singing, Saul, Saul, a killer of thousands. But they say, David, David, killer of 10,000. Saul still have this spirit of going back and forth with David, taking him in, pushing him out, taking him in, pushing him out, taking him in, pushing him out. So he's bringing his heart to him, then he's pushing his heart back away. Bringing his, you got to get this, church. Bringing his heart to him, then pushing it back away. I'm talking about David. Now, how is this young man feeling? This young man is broken to the point of no understanding. He's broken. He's hurt because they feel like he's just, everybody's against him. And matter of fact, let me give you this information. King Saul was trying to turn everybody against David. Who don't want to be with the king? Who don't want to be with the king? Everybody want to be with the king. So everybody is going against David besides his men. Now, what is God trying to tell David in this? See, you know what? We could look at something that treats us so well and get our eye off the thing that created us. Sometimes we fall, I had a cousin that I fell in love with. Didn't even think about God. Sometimes we could look at the thing that's treating us so well and get our eyes off of God. But David is at a broken point right now. And in his brokenness, something is occurring. What's going on with David and his brokenness? What is happening in David while he's being broken? Let's take it down in scripture, right? We see now that Saul really wanted to kill David because King Saul told his son that David, after they start singing about David, that David, David killed tens of thousands, King Saul only killed thousands. He said, what do he want next, my kingdom? Now he really got to kill David because he feels David's going to take his kingdom. Now he goes after David. David's running from Saul. Follow me on this, right? Now, what is David going through? What is this doing for David? Now, Saul is hunting for David, trying to destroy David, right? All of a sudden, Saul had to go into a cave and do whatever he needed to do there. And David's in the back of the cave. What is this doing for David? David's men say, now God has pulled him over into our hands. Right? Now, you would think, if he's trying to kill me, I need to kill him. What is God doing to David in his broken state? David had the chance to kill King Saul and get it over with. His men pushed him on to kill King Saul. But David decided, I won't touch God's anointed, nor will I do his prophets any harm. David tell his men, absolutely not. King Saul leaves the cave, and David lets him know. Matter of fact, David cut off a piece of his garment. And David lets him know after he leaves the cave, I could have killed you. I'm getting somewhere with this, church. He said, I could have killed you, but I didn't. Because he believed, what is David learning from God? He believed, if I touch God's anointing, God will touch me. Get this, though. It's something even deeper than that, right? In this, David has to have a relationship in the knowing that I better not touch him. Get this, right? David has to have some type of reverence of something much greater than Saul, much greater than his getting Saul back or doing something to Saul than he had the chance to. When he had the chance to, he is something much greater that David believed in or getting to believe in or learning to believe in or coming back to believe in than the situation at hand. So now David's come to understand through the relationship that he's having with God, through the dependence that he has. See, it's one thing when you're all by yourself, you're going to need somebody to depend on. Pastor Mike talked about repentance and dependence last week, right? It's something about brokenness that makes you repent, especially in you not knowing what's going on. And it also allows you to have more dependence on that thing you repent to. When you feel like you all alone, you're going to find, see, David knew about God. Remember, he fought Goliath. He killed Goliath in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, right? So he knew about it. He went to Saul's house and kind of focused on Saul. Then all these things started happening where God started shaking David, started breaking David. And now the one that he looked at is after him, trying to destroy him now. Do you get this? So in the process of his running, it's okay to run sometimes. In the process of his running, he's starting to have a relationship with the one that he needs to have a relationship with. And in the relationship brought on, man, I don't know. See, sometimes you may feel like you ain't done nothing. And that makes you say, man, God, what have I done? But despite that, Lord, whatever I've done that I know and don't know, I repent. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Because it's something about a relationship. When you get connected to someone or something, right, and you just keep connecting to it, you get closer to it. I'm not talking about each other, your wife. I'm talking about God. When you get a connection with God and you start seeing the invisible becoming visible, it's just something about that that captures your whole, everything in you. So now David is coming to a dependence through his running, through his brokenness, through his damagedness. You get this? In him running from Saul, he's running to God. In his ascent, in his low stature, he's being brought up high. In his low physical stature, he's being brought up higher spiritually, because the connection is growing. Oh, yes, Lord. The connection, man, this is... Amen, yes, Lord. My wife always tells me to calm down, right? I see her. She's on the phone with somebody. Would you tell him to stop, calm down before he loses his voice? But, and I'm going to show you why this has touched me like it do, right? In David's broken stature, as long as he keep his soul intact, he might keep running. Saul might keep after him, but he won't. Saul can't touch him. Did you notice David was always 5 or 6 steps ahead of Saul? And sometimes he was 1 step behind him. Could have killed him. Okay, now Saul said, okay, David, my son, man, forgive me, right? Forgive me, man, I'm wrong. But then it happens again. That Saul gets jealous, the spirit wells up in Saul again, and he gets jealous. The kingdom is going to be taken from Saul and given to David, right? But Saul is jealous again, then he go after David again, and David and one of his men sneak into Saul's camp. Get this now, you always going to have somebody tell you, especially that's with you, to tell you to do something that they may not understand. Everybody's on a different level with God. But you got to make sure you stand firm on the level that you're in through your brokenness. You get it? Through you being damaged, you got to do what God tells you to do. That's the relationship. That's the connection. That's the dependence, right? So you have to do what God tells you to do. Now they have a chance to put a spit through Saul's head and stick him to the ground. But David said no. David put the spear on the Saul, by Saul's head, and left the camp and called out to Saul again and said, Saul, Saul. And he woke up and he said, I could have killed you again. I'm phrasing it. I could have killed you again, but I didn't. Despite what my men say, God tell me to touch not my anointing, do my prophets no harm. But how do David know what God's saying? And his brokenness brought on a relationship. And David being tore up, his heart being ripped to pieces by Saul, and what's going on? The man he loved is after him trying to kill him. And it's nothing but lies. And God's allowing it to happen. Through his damaged state, he's getting to know God even better. You got to get this. Man, I want everybody to get it, right? But the way God got it for you, right? In his damaged and broken state, he's getting to know the Creator better. Now, his dependence, man, I love that sermon last week. His dependence is no longer on Saul, no longer on the situation, no longer on the circumstance, right? It's on God and God alone. So what did David learn in his broken state? He learned to trust God. If everybody's against you, God is with me. And I won't compromise his word, not even for my men. I will not touch God's anointed. I will not say anything bad about him. I will, you know what David did? David focused on his relationship and his running. Because he remembered what God he fought for, even though we lose track sometimes. See, circumstances, situations make us lose track of God. When it's happening to you, come on, let me tell you the truth now. When it's happening to you, I know I've been to the prison and in gangs, everything, right? When it happens to you, you hurt and cry. When it happened to poor you, that selfishness come out. I found out I was selfish too. That selfishness come out, Don. When it happened to you, poor me. Why me? But God was doing something with David. See, if you go down the scripture, God called David a man after his own heart. How did David get there? He got that through being broken. He got that through being damaged. He got that through being everything that he knew had to be ripped out of him, and God had to build him back up according to the way he called him and he made him. Because I recall Genesis say, when God made us, all three of them said, let us make him in our image. We're made in the image of God. God had to bring us back to that image. But we're so stubborn and stiff-necked, we want what we want when we want it. And if we don't get it, we want to know why we don't get it. I better not do that, right? That's that dangerous press up there, Pastor. You know, that's that talking about you there. That's that putting that mirror in your face, right? But David went to the point of, I will not touch God's anointing. I will not touch God's anointing. Now, in the process of David being heartbroken and everything else, John, I got 2 minutes left? Okay. I'm going to wrap it up, Pastor. In the process of David running and being hurt, right? In his damaged state, he got to know God, right? Now, what happened then? This is my third point. What happened to David? What did this do to David, right? What happened? What happened then, right? What was David's outcome? He became king of Judah and Israel. Through him being faithful to God. Not Saul. Through him being faithful to God, not Saul. Because there was nothing in David's brokenness when he was running from Saul. It's nothing in David's journey. Because see, brokenness is a journey, right? So God blessed David. Let me bring it to me now, right? Can I go over a little bit? Just a little bit. Okay. I just need to know because my wife gonna ask me, did you do what the pastor and them say that you went too far, didn't you? I'm going to say, nope, I asked him. Look, I'm serious too. Those that know me, my wife, I'm serious. She, I love her though. My wife keep me intact and teach me how to be humble because she loves Jesus too. As long as David keeps his soul intact, I'm getting to the spiritual now. As long as David kept his soul intact, even though it was by a screen, he was okay. Because he trusted in the spirit of God speaking to him, directing him, guiding him, and leading him. Despite how heartbroken he was, he didn't focus on revenge. He focused on repentance. He didn't focus, I'm going to get Saul back. He focused on dependence. You got to get this, right? In April of last year, my ear was clogged up. And I was wondering why my ear was clogged up, right? It was clogged up for 4 months. And I say, man, this ain't right. And I got a Christian doctor. I've been having a Christian doctor for 9 years, right? And he gave me antibiotics and stuff like that. And I said, you know what, doc, let me go to a specialist and see what's going on with my ear, right? I went to the specialist. He did my nose, and put a stethoscope down my nose and saw a big tumor behind my brain and my ear canal, right? And he said, I think I better check that. So I say, check it now. I ain't finna come back. You need to check it now. So he got some scissors and stuffed down my nose again and clipped a piece of it and did a biopsy. And he told me it was cancer. And as I went to do the scan, then I went and told my wife. My wife made a sound I never forget in the car. We was going to eat, and she asked me what was wrong. And I told her. And she made a screaming sound that I never heard before come out of my wife. And it's sticking with me even today. My wife was hurt to the point that she wanted to take whatever her husband had and give him relief. But I was at the point of, I would never give my wife this, and I hate to put this news on her. So now we're dealing with a tumor in the back by my brain and my ear canal that's cancerous. As I went for a PET scan, they found two more tumors in my throat. So now they was cancerous as well. As of April, we got this news that I had cancer. What? I'm a director. I know who I used to be, a drug dealer, a gang leader. I've been to prison. I've been shot up. I've been stabbed up. I did a lot of things contrary to who you are. But when I learned out who you was, Lord, I try to follow you. I try to do what's right. This is what I'm saying in my head. It never came out of my mouth, but it was on my heart, right? I try to do what's right. Man, I'm your pastor of a church. I love you. I'm a director of a food ministry in North Minneapolis, and also a director of a food ministry. Now I'm boasting on God, not me. I'm a director of a food ministry also in St. Paul, and I love the kids, and you allow me to go tell people about you in businesses and in churches. And I stopped right there because I could never ask God why. I didn't think it was my duty to ask God why me. It's just me. Because I didn't ask him why me when I was out there doing that nonsense. So why should I ask him why me? And then again, I think that why me is asking, if not me, put it on somebody else. No. You gave this to me. So be it. Went through 39 days of chemo and radiation from Monday through Friday from 9 o'clock in the morning to 4:30. My kidneys was abnormal, so I couldn't do the strong chemo. This is my testimony. I couldn't do the strong chemo, so they had to wait for the stronger chemo until I finished the 39 days of chemo and radiation. And then they give me 3 sets of the stronger chemo as they build my kidneys up, right? So me and my wife went through that, and it was times where I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't know how serious this was, but I was looking at death. It was times through the chemo where I had to have a bag on my side. Couldn't get out of bed for 7 days, and my wife have to see her husband, the one that provides, the one that dares to try to cover my wife and do everything I can that she won't have to, that she may enjoy our kids, is in the bed for 7 days, not able to move, and losing weight, losing hope, losing everything. And she have to witness this. She can't take it from me. Can't anybody take it from me physically? This is what my wife and my kids went through. The one that provider, that provide could no longer provide, he had to be provided for. This went on all the way up to September. And then I went back in after the chemo and radiation was over with. But God, the tumors was gone from my brain and my neck. They was gone. You got to get this right. Amen, amen, amen. They was gone. I know for a fact that was a supernatural healing because when I was able to go to work, I went to work. I'm sorry, to my duty, Pastor. As a pastor, when I was able to get up and move and go to my duty, help Mother Henry, I went and preached the word. You know what I asked God? Because I couldn't talk. I said, Lord, please don't take my voice from me. Please, because I want to preach your word. I want to preach your word. Take everything else, but don't take my voice. God took my voice for a while, but he gave it back to me. Right? So now everything's clear, but what the doctors, my oncologist, I don't know them big words, I don't, oncologist, right? That's it, right? Okay, because my wife gonna say, did you say it right? And I'm gonna be like, nope. I had to ask the church, baby, did I say it right? So I'm right. So my oncologist said, let's take another scan to make sure you're okay, right? Now me and my wife telling everybody, man, cancer gone. There's not everything gone, right? He took a scan on me, right? And it dropped down to my lungs. He saw two dots on my lungs, one high up and one lower. And he said, we got to take a biopsy of it. No, he said, let's wait for a minute, right? We waited. And then 2 months later, he took another one, and it doubled in size. So that was very concerning of him. I got a minus sign by the 5 minutes, right? It's like, you over 5 minutes. And it's red. So I'm going to hurry up, right? It caught my eyes, right? It really caught my eyes. But the pastors, they gave me permission. So now, I'm saying, man, my wife, like, come on. Now I may have cancer in my lungs. I say, nope, we don't trust you, Lord. We don't trust you. We trust you all this time. I ain't questioning you. I won't question you. My wife said, I'm questioning them. I say, praise God, babe, but I can't. I can't question them. Because I know who I used to be. I know how he brought who I used to be out and back to who I should be. Who he created me to be. See, I knew of God because I was created in his image. I walked away from God, but God got my attention to bring me back to him, to make me have dependence on him in my repentant state, right? So when I was going through the cancer, I was like, Lord, I don't know, I'm not questioning you, but forgive me for whatever I've done, knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive me, Lord. And now, look at this. I had to depend on him in my repentant state. The dependence came. Praise God, Pastor. Look, I repented. The dependence came that he may give me restoration. You got to get this, church. I let you get this. Let me hurry up. Let me go. Amen. God is awesome, right? Now, me and my wife at the point of, oh, my goodness, not again. I saw her. It just broke her down. My wife lost it. I never saw her like that before. You know, she lost it, right? So let's pray. We pray, you know. Man, God got us. We ain't going to worry about it. You know, they got to check it, right? Now I got to go for surgery, but they're going to cut a piece of my lung off, right? So I'm like, man, another surgery. I already had three surgeries because I got a tube, maybe a feeding tube still in me right now, and a port right here that they take blood out of, right? So I'm saying, okay, Lord, I trust you. I'm serious, Pastor. I was just saying, you know, I trust you. You know, I got to trust you. I got to trust you. Just talking to him, I got to trust you. I know you got me. You know, your will be done. You know, and I was telling Don earlier that I told God, I say, Lord, just like King Hezekiah when he turned his face to the wall and prayed and God gave him 15 years, Hezekiah ain't no different than me. He's no different than me. I'm a child of God as well. I asked God, I said, God, if it's your will, could you give me more time to proclaim your word, to tell somebody that don't know who you are? To just glorify your name, right? I said, Lord, you made me for certain people, to get to certain people, right? I told him, I'm willing. I'm not going to wrestle with you. I'm not fighting. I'm willing, Lord. Man, I'm telling you, just like I'm talking to you, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I know you, God. I'm willing, Chuck. I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to be about my Father's business. I'm willing, Lord. I want to submit to you, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. My dependence raised even higher on God. You got to get it. You know, Lord, I don't want to do anything wrong against you. Man, Lord, I'm willing. But I told him, not my will, your will, even if I die. I'm not boasting. I didn't want to die. But if it's God's will, who am I to worry about it? I was damaged, especially the second time of cancer, right? So now I go into the operation room, and they supposed to be cutting the top one out to see if they could get a biopsy off of it. And they say the one that's down in my lung, they might have to open up my chest and put their hands down. I say, no, you're not. We ain't finna do that one. Nope. Just deal with the one you can put two slits in me right here and go in and make small incisions, right? They said, okay, right? So they went in, and I'm thinking they did a biopsy, right? The nurse told my wife, you know, that was cancer. They told me it was cancer and told me they got a piece out, you know, to check it. So now me and my wife waiting, and she supposed to tell us they got a little piece from the bottom one too, right? And they supposed to tell us a week later, was that cancerous? The one on top is cancerous. It moved. And now, see, look, they told us, if this is cancer, they can't do nothing else for me. I just have to just be treated and wait till I die. Right? I said, okay. It shook me, but my wife brought me back. Right? Meaning she encouraged me in my broken state. Because she came to understand that, baby, if you just keep the soul intact, we can keep on going, right? So now we had I had the operation. It's been over 3 weeks. And then I go see my doctor 2 weeks after the operation. And he come in, right? U of M will never be the same, because I always talked about Jesus, and they always say, here come that Jesus guy. I'm serious. I told everybody about Jesus, from the 500 building to the 909 building. Whenever I got in there, they asked me, how you doing? Man, Jesus got taking care of me. Man, my Lord and Savior. I had to make sure I tell them about Jesus, because I don't think I'm there for the cancer. I think I'm there to proclaim his name. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not there for what the enemy say I'm there for. I'm there to take care of God's business, because if he allow my feet to continue to move in my damaged state, I got to tell him about him, because that keeps my soul intact. I have to tell somebody about him. I got to. What else are we created for? The Great Commission ain't stopped. Tell every man, woman, and child about who Jesus is and the gospel. The gospel is Christ. I'm finna stop, Pastor. I'm finna stop. Now, get this right. My doctor say, what's going on? My doctor, he a Muslim, right? I say, I told you Jesus going on. And he be like, oh, this guy right here, right? I say, I told you Jesus going on. Give him a handshake, right? And he like, yeah. And he say, did they tell you? I say, well, I don't think I know what my wife told me, that it's cancerous, and y'all got to piece out, do a biopsy. He shook his head, and I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't be playing them games with my doctors or nobody, right? Don't shake your head. Tell me what's going on. You know, don't do, let's not keep, this is not a movie or anything. Don't keep it going with me. Tell me what's happening. And he said, well, they cut the top one out. They cut all the cancer out of my top. They gave me surgery. They cut all the cancer out of the first nodule, right? Because it was like 1.4 centimeter. And the bottom one, they test it, and it's not cancerous. So now I'm cancer-free. I'm cancer-free. But in my damaged state, I'm through, Pastor Jonathan. In my damaged state, spiritually, as long as I kept my soul, intact, with him and who he was, who he is, and who he'll always be, because his words say he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He can't change. As long as I trusted in God and not the circumstance or situation that had itself before me, God brought me through. He heard my prayers, and he heard my cries, and he heard the cries of the saints. And now I get to preach the gospel one more day. I get to tell you about Jesus one more time. I get to share the love of Christ one more way. That's all that matters. So I'll keep my soul intact despite the circumstance or situation. That won't determine who I am. I've been determined who I was and who I am and who I'll always be since day one. I was created in my Father's image. So I have his DNA. His blood has me from top to bottom. And I've been forgiven. And I am a child of the King. And it don't change. Bless you. Amen. Johnson, let me get down. Let me sit down. Praise him. Hallelujah. I love you, man.